Okay, we're starting here on the top of Chaf Tetim and Aleph by the two dots. Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, Yatzai Mechutach O Misuras. Baby came out, Mechutach, Eivre, came out limb by limb, O Misuras, or came out in the breach. So Amar Rav Elazar, Afila Roshi Mehen. In this case, even if their head is there, nevertheless, you still have to have the robe exit before it's considered to be a Leida. Yochan Amar, Lo Shanu Elo She'en a Roshi Mehen. That's only true if the head is not there. Amar Roshi Mehen, if the head is there, then Harehu Ki Yulod. Then the Rosh is the factor in terms of birth. So what we saw yesterday, there are two ways to have a birth. One is the head. When it's considered to be chashuv, the chashivut of the head makes that there's a classified birth if the robe of the head is exited. On the other hand, if there is no head, like by the sandal, then it's the robe that has to exit before it's classified as a leida. So over here, where we have misuras, obviously when it's coming out in the breach, then it's going to be the robe that matters because it's coming out of breach and you'll hit the robe before you ever hit the head. The question is, b'mechutach, when you have it that is coming out, eiver, there, if the head exits, does the head qualify to be a leida, even though it's coming out mechutach, or do we have to wait for robe to come out? So here we have a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So where it says, lema b'dishmuel kamiflegei. Let's say that they argue in Shmuel. We mentioned Shmuel before, Tosafot that discussed Shmuel. The Shmuel says in Bechorot, damar Shmuel ein arosh poter b'nefelim. That the Rosh is not considered chashuv when you're talking about a nefil, when you're talking about a miscarriage of some sort that does not have a viable or live entity. It's true that in the Gemara in Bechorot, Shmuel's itotav, the Gemara has strong questions against Shmuel's position, and we discard Shmuel's position. Tosafot discusses or distinguishes between nefil and something like a stillborn. A nefil, which is not a viable entity whatsoever, over there, the Gemara rejects Shmuel. On the other hand, when you have a stillborn, which is a full-fledged fetus, it's just not alive, over there, Tosafot says that we still will hold of the din of Shmuel that the Rosh is considered chashuv, because this entity could have been born live and viable, and therefore the Rosh is chashuv. But Shmuel's statement is said about Nifelim. Now we want to apply this to our machloket over here, that Rabbi Elazar has the din of Shmuel, and therefore Rabbi Elazar says over here, Afilu Aroshi Mahen, even if the Rosh is with them, it's not meaningful, because when it comes to Nefilim, the head does not have significance. So too over here, in our case, of Mechutach, the Rosh will not have any significance. Yochanan does not hold of Shmuel and says that even when we're talking about something that's not a Nefil, we still say that the Rosh carries with it significance. When it says, Bishalem, if we're talking about a whole entity, Kulam Elo Plige, nobody is arguing about it, that the Rosh is considered to be significant. Yiplige b'mechutach. The whole machloket revolves around when the baby is coming out, ever. The marasavir b'shalim hu dechachashiv. The head is only considered to be significant when it comes out whole. B'mechutach, but when it comes out, ever, lo kachashiv. The head is an independent entity. It's not considered to be chashuv. It's chashuv when it's attached to a body. Umasavir b'mechutach nami chashiv. That even when it's cut up, it still has significance. That's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Ika Dematni Lo Lahashmaita Bapay Nafsha. Some people put this machloket to Belazar and Rabbi Yochanan independent. First, we did it premised on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was the background, and then we had the machloket to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Some people have the machloket to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan independent of the Mishnah. The nafkamina between them is that the one who has it independent says that by a shalem, they're also arguing. They're not just arguing by a mechutach, which is the context of our Mishnah, but even by a shalem, they argue. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ein arosh kirov eivarim. The rosh does not have a din like the majority of eivarim. Yochanan Amar, arosh kirov eivarim. The head does have a significance or status like the majority of the eivarim. As Rashi points out over here, we're talking about a nefel. Talking about a miscarried baby. And the machlokadir is whether you hold of Shmuel's din or you do not hold of Shmuel's din. According to Rabbi Lazar, he holds of Shmuel's din. And ein arosh kirov eivarim. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan does not hold of Shmuel's din. And therefore the rosh has significance even by nefel and even by mechutach. Bekamiflegei b'shmuel. And they're arguing in this din of Shmuel. It's not our Mishnah now. Yatza mechutach o misuras. Comes out, Aver comes out limb by limb. Oh, it comes out in the breach. When it comes out in the majority, it's a yilod. Midikamar, since the mission says misuras, that it's talking about a case of misuras in the breach, then michlal de mechutach tikuno. That when it came out, Aver, it came out the normal way, means head first. V'kamar, and yet our Mishnah says, Mishiyatza rubo, harizeki yulot. You still need the majority to come out before it's considered to be a yulot. Kashal Rabbi Yochanan, that's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan's position, because here you have a mechutach, ever, limb by limb, exiting the woman. It comes out head first, and yet the Mishnah says you have to wait until rov to classify it as a leida. So that sounds like the position of Shmuel, the position of Rabbi Elazar. Amalacha, Rabbi Yochanan, Ema. You misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Yatza Mechutach Umisuras. The case here is not two separate cases, one case of limb by limb and a case of coming out of the breach, but rather, this is an Aver that came out in the breach. It came out feet first, limb by limb. Va'oktani. How can you read that into the Mishnah? The Mishnah says Yatza Mechutach Umisuras. That's an or, not and. So how are you making it into an and if it says or? It says Hachi Kamar. This is how to read the Mishnah. Yatza Mechutach Oshaleim, if it comes out, whether it's limb by limb or it's whole, b'zeh misuras, and both of them are qualified by the word misuras, they're both coming out in the breach, shiatza rubo or izeki yulod, and the robe comes out, that's considered to be a yulod. So what Rabbi Yochanan does then is creates two cases. There are two cases. One is michutach, eber, the other case is shalem, entirety of an entity. And then misuras modifies both of them, which is that they are both coming out in the breach. And that's why the Mishnah says that it's based on the robe. But had it been that they came out in a normal fashion, whether mechutach or shalem had it come out head first, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in Ochanami, it would be classified as a leida. Amar Papa Kitanai. This seems to be a machloket tanaim. Yatza mechutach o mishuras. Came out limb by limb, or it came out in the breach. Mishiyatza rubo, harizeki yulod. Like our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi omer, mishiyatza kitikno. That's only if it came out in the normal fashion. By kamar. What is Rabbi Yossi saying? Amar Papa Achi Kamar. Yatza mechutach umishuras. It came out limb by limb and in the breach. If it comes out rubo, harihu kiyulot. Ha. The implications from that are kitikno harosh poter. Came out in a normal fashion, then the rosh would be poter. Rabbi Yossi omer, mishiyatza rubo kitikno. That even when it comes out in a normal fashion, you still have to have the robe exit in order for you classified as a birth. So then you have here, according to Rav Papa, machloket in this Mishnah, which is that the Tanakhama believes that only if it comes out in the breach does it require a rove. If it comes out head first, it does not require a rove. The head first would be classified as a leida because of the head. Rav Yossi comes along and says, even if it comes out head first, Mishiyatza rubo, kitigno, when it comes out in the rove, in the normal fashion, that's why it's classified as a birth. Smatgal Rav Zid, Michlau. And this you would infer, de misuras, rubo nami lo puter. If you're saying that Rabbi Yossi says that when it comes out, kitikuno, it requires rove, that implies that if it came out, misuras, it came out in the breach, a rove would not be sufficient. It sounds like you would have to get it out entirely. Va kaimalon, and we know that rubo kikulo, everywhere throughout Shas, that rubo is kikulo. Why would you demand that the entire baby exit for it to be classified as a late da? It's clear that rove would be sufficient. El Amar Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid, the rereads the Braita to say this, Halchi Kamar, Yatza Mechutach Umisuras, came out limb by limb or in the breach. Mishatza Rubo, Harizek Yulod. When the rove exits, that's a late da. Ha ketikuno. What you would infer from here, the diuk from this is, Harosh Poter. Came out normally, the Rosh would be Poter. On that, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishiyatza kitikuno l'chaim. That's only if it's a live entity. If it's a viable baby, then the Rosh is significant. But if it's not a viable baby, then the Rosh is not significant, and you'd also require a rove in that case. So the difference between the way Rav Papa is reading and Rav Zvid is reading it is the way Rabbi Yossi addresses the Tanakhama. In Rav Zvid's reading of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is addressing the diuk out of the Reisha. The diuk from the Tanakhama statement, which is that mechutach misuros require rubo, that implies, or what we would deduce from that is, that a yulod, if it was a normal birth, meaning that directionally it was a normal birth, then the rosh would be considered significant and be poter. On that, Rabbi Yossi responds and says, that's not true. That's only if it's a live birth. That's only if it's a viable entity, is that true. But if it's not a viable entity, then you still require rove. The way Rav Papa was reading it, that was Rabbi Yossi was addressing the statement of the Tanakhama himself, which was, Yatza mechutach misuras, mishiyatza rubo, harehu ki yulot. Ha, kitigno rosh poter, if it came out normally, then the rosh would be poter. Then Rabbi Yossi says, mishiyatza rubo, kitigno, that if it came out, normally, mishiyatza rubo, once the rove comes out, that's only talking about kitigno, when it came out in the normal fashion. But if it doesn't come out in the normal fashion, then you would require more. But that means that over there, Rav Papa is suggesting, Rav Yossi is addressing the first statement of the Tanakhama, which was Yatza Mechutach Misuras, Yesh Yatza Rubo. One comes to Rav Yossi and say, no, that's only when it's Kedik No. It's only when it comes out normally. And then we try to infer from that, that maybe Misuras Rov would not be enough, and that's the question that led us into the explanation of Rav Zvid. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a Braita that supports this reading, Yatza Mechutach Misuras, Mashiach Yatza Rubo, Arizeh Ki Yilod. If it comes out either aver, limb by limb, or in the breach, once the robe exits, that's a leida. Ha, kitik no. If it came out normally, harosh poter. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mishatza kitik no lechayim. That's only if it's a live, viable entity. Vezu kitik no lechayim. What is considered to be kitik no lechayim? It's a rov rosho. When the majority of the head has exited. What's the majority of the head? Vezu rov rosho. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mishatzu tzidda av. Once the temples have exited, you can see in Rashi, Tzedav, it says temples. Abachana Nishur Rav Yeshua Omer, Mishiyatza Padachto. Once the forehead has exited, Yeshomrim, Mishiru, Karnei Rosho. When they see the point of the head, and as Rashi explains, that's Govo Rosho, peak of the head, She'itzala Orif, that's by the back of the neck. So the point of the head, where the head extends outwards in the back, that would be the amount that has to come out. So that's what's defining what's called Rov Rosho, a normal birth, and that normal birth, where it's a live, viable entity, then the rove of the Rosh would suffice in order to classify it as a Leida, because the Rosh is significant in this case, and then rove Rosh would be enough to classify it as a Leida, and here we have the definition of what rove Rosh is. On the other hand, if it's been born by Misuras, when it's coming out in the breach, or it's Mechutach, where the Rosh does not hold significance, over there we would require, according to Rabbi Yossi, a rove, in order to classify it as a Leida. Whereas the Tanakhama will say that even in the case where it comes out Mechutach, or it's not a viable entity, if the Rosh comes out first, that would be enough to classify it as a Leida. Similar to what we saw in the Machloket in Shmuel's position before. Alright, next Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Gemara back on Daf Yud Chet, which is a Mapelet Ve'en Yadua Mahu. She has a miscarriage, and she doesn't know what she miscarried. Teshev Lezachar Ulenikeva. Since we assume that there was a nafil here, this was a leida. The only question is, we don't know whether it was a male or a female. Therefore, she takes on the chumrot of both the zachar in the keva, which means that she waits 7 days, she gets 14 days of tumah, 26 days of tahara. In yadua im vladaya, if we add an additional dimension of safek, which is, we're not even sure of what she discharged was a leida. So now you have two options. One option is it wasn't a leida. The other option was, it was a Leida. Then even within the option, if it was a Leida, we're uncertain as to whether it was a Zachar or a Nekeva. So the three possible outcomes that you could have here, no Leida, which would make her into a Nida now, because she's setting down. On the other hand, it could be that it was a Leida, but then the other possibilities are Zachar and Nekeva. So those are the three possibilities. And as the Mishnah says, then Teshev, Zachar, Nekeva, and Nida. You get all three of them, which is Zachar, Nekeva, and Nida. Which means that you will get no Yimei Tohar, because of the problem of Nida. The problem of Nida says there is no Yimei Tohar over here. So what we're left with is 2 weeks of Tumah because of the Nikeva. So because of that, if this the Nida eliminates the Yimei Tohar, the Zachar really is not meaningful, and the Nikeva is meaningful in creating the 2 weeks of Tumah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this is what we saw back on Daf Yud Chet. Avra Nahar Ve'epila. She went through the river, and she discharged, miscarried in the river. She brings the korban leida, and it's eaten. We assume that this was a full-fledged leida, that she's chayevet in the korban, so chayevet in the korban that the kohanim can eat the korban. We're not bringing it ala safek, which means, halech achar rov nashim, because we are going after the majority of women, rov nashim, v'lai ma'al yaldan. Majority of women give birth to entities that are considered to be a leida, miscarriages of something that would otherwise be considered a leida. So if that's the case, we're going after the rove. The rove is so certain that we make it as if it's a vadai. And a vadai enough that the kohanim eat the korban that she brings. It's not. Ein yadua im vlad haya. Our Mishnah. Mishnah says that you don't know if it was a vlad or not. Teshev lezachar nekeva lenida. Amai teshev lenida. Why should you have to worry about a nida at all? Nida implies that whatever was discharged was not an entity at all. Was not a leida. Lema halech achar rov nashim. Go after the majority of women, Rav Nashim, Vlad Ma'al Yaldan. Why do you have the safek of nida in our Mishnah if you subscribe to the position of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that rov nashim give birth to something that is considered a leida? So let's go after the rov over here. The rov means that it's a leida. The only safek should be between zachar and nekeva. Why do you have a safek nida at all? Mar says, matitam b'shloch huzkuka ubra. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where it wasn't certain that she already was pregnant. B'chi kamar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, k'shechuzka ubra. Shimon Levi's statement is only made when we are certain that the woman is pregnant. Shechuzka ubra means that it's recognizable, it's obvious that this woman is pregnant. Once she reaches that point where it's obvious that she's pregnant, then whatever she discharges a la rov will be a gleida. But here in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where it might have been prior to that point in time. Prior to that point in time, they don't get a classification of a leida. So Tashma, what about this? Behemash yatzam leya. We had an animal that was pregnant, that was carrying. It went out to the fields, ubal reikanit, comes back and there's nothing in it anymore. Haba acharav bechor misafek. The next child that is born to this animal is considered or classified as a bechor misafek. Vamai. Why don't we say the same din of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi over here? Aleich acharo beimot. Majority of animals give birth to fetuses that will be classified as a leida, and therefore we should classify the first entity as a leida, and a bacharav, the other one that comes after it, haipashudhu, should not be classified as a bechor whatsoever, because the bechor was the one that came out first. The second one is patur, because there was a petarechem already. Ravina mishum deikalameimar, rov beimot, yodot, davar hapoter mi bechora. Yes, that's the robe of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The majority of animals give birth to something that would classify as peter rechem and would exempt the animal that came after them from bechora. But there is a minority that gives birth to something that will not exempt the one that comes after. Bechola yodot mitanfot. And any animal that gives birth, in general, there's an indication of that birth because they are mitanfot. Earlier in the Masechta, we had the word mitanfot. Over there, that was mitanfot because that was the discharge itself. That was a miscarriage of a behemoth daka. It was called tinuf. Over here, tinuf is that which accompanies a birth. The tinuf that comes out alongside of the birth, that tinuf is usually an indication that we had a birth here. That was missing in our case. Wait a minute. So if it's not mitanef over here, then the next one should be a full-fledged bechor. Ela'ema, you have to say this, rov yodot mitanfot. The majority of those that give birth have this discharged afterwards, or have some indication that they gave birth. Bezu, v'ho v'lo tinfa, itra laruba. They ruined the rov. So the way to solve that problem from the question of Behaman, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, is to say, yes, there is a rov over there. The rov is that most animals that give birth have some indication of the birth. They have some residual discharge that happens. That's an indication of the birth. Since that is the rov, based on that rov, we would assume that whatever came afterwards was not a bechor. The problem is here that the animal didn't have the tinuf. So since they didn't have the tinuf, they undermine the rov. Once you've undermined the rov, now you're in a situation where you have a safek. And that's why we say that whatever comes afterwards is a safek, because the rov is no longer applicable over here. Einoch anami, if the rov was applicable, like we just said previously, the Gemara's question, which is, if the rov animals give birth to something that is poter mina bechora, einoch anami, that the one that comes afterwards would be patur mina bechora. And also, if the adult are mitanfot, if it was not mitaneif, that it's a bechor ma'alya. Because you're missing any evidence of there being a birth. And if there's no evidence of a birth, we're going to assume whatever comes afterwards was the first birth. And therefore the next birth will be designated as the bechor. The Gemara's conclusion is, it's not all yodot give birth and have this tinuf afterwards. Because if it was all, then we would say that whatever comes afterwards for sure is a bechor, because we didn't see any tinuf. So the rov here applies to this idea that rov, animals that give birth, have this tinuf. And since this animal didn't have this tinuf, then we lose that rove. Once we've lost that rove, we enter into the world of safek, and that's why we have a safek by this bema. Kiata Rabin Amar. So this again, we saw back on Daf Yud Chet. When Rabin came, Meitiv Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chinina To'ah. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chinina asked on the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from this issue of To'ah. V'lo yadana matiyufta. I don't know what the question was. I don't understand his question. Mahi. What's this question that he asked? The Tanya. We have a brayta. Isha shiatzta mleya. A woman who went out pregnant, uba'a reikanit. She comes back, and there's no fetus, there's nothing left. She has discharged whatever it is. Ve'evia lifanenu. And now she comes before us, and has shlosha shvu'in tihorin. really be Shavuot. She has 3 weeks that are tahor. Va'asara Shavuot echad tameh ve'echad tahor. Then after that, subsequent to that, she has 10 weeks in which alternatingly, the first one is tameh, next one is tahor, tameh tahor, tameh tahor. So they have 13 weeks subsequent to the time that she comes before us in Beit Din. And this is the layout of those 13 weeks that she has after she comes before us in Beit Din. And that is that she has 3 weeks where she sees no dam. And then she has the subsequent 10 weeks where she sees dam every day for a week, then sees nothing for a week, every day for a week, sees nothing for a week, alternatingly for those subsequent 10 weeks. And the Gemara is going to explain all of this. This is the Braita. The Gemara will come back and explain all of this. So then, number one is, Mishameshet or Shloshim B'chamesh. On the night of the 35th, she can be with her husband. And she has to go to the mikveh 95 times. Divrei Beit Shammai. V'dilul omrim, 35. But little else, you only have to go 35 times. Rosi Rabbi Yehuda omer, daya, the tefillah shetei v'achrona. One tefillah at the end is enough. So in terms of machloket Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, this has to do with a question about whether tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. Doing a tefillah when you're supposed to do it, is that a mitzvah or not? So according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no mitzvah to do tefillah bizmana. You just have to go to the mikveh to become tahor. It's not a mitzvah to do it on time. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, go to the mikveh once, at the end. All the way at the end, you go to the mikveh once, you take care of everything. Whereas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai believe tefillah bizmana is a mitzvah. And therefore, they require you to go to the mikveh over and over and over again to see if you can hit the right day. That, the Gemara will discuss exactly how we get to the right day or why there's so many tefillot. We'll get to through the beginning here of why she can be with her husband on the 35th and the Shita of Rabbi Beit Shammai today. Tomorrow we'll do the Shita of Beit Hillel. Bishlama, so the Gemara says, I understand. Bishlama shvu arishon lo mishameshet. The first week that she comes back, she can't be with her husband. Amar yoledet zachari. Maybe she gave birth to a male. Right before she came before us, they had the discharge. And she gave birth to a male. And that means the first week is out because the first week is Yemei Tumah. Even though she's not seeing any dam, she's Tumeya. Shavu asheni. The second week she can't be with her husband. Amer, you'll let it nekevai. Maybe she gave birth to a female right before she came before us. And therefore there are 2 weeks of Tumah that she is required. And therefore she can't be together with her husband for those first 2 weeks. Shlishi, the third week she can't be together with her husband. Amar, you'll let it nekeva bizovi. Maybe she gave birth to a nekeva, but she was also a zavah gedola to require shiva nikiim. So that would be 2 weeks for the nekeva that are days that are tmeim, which would be 14 days. Then she has to have 7 nikiim, which gets you to day 21. So that's up to day 21. Elosh vashvi comes to the fourth week. Afagav dechachaz yadam tishamesh. By the fourth week, why don't we say that she can be together with her husband entirely for the whole week? Because even if she sees dam at that point, what's the chashash that we have? Well, if she was yoledet zachar, 7 days of tumah expired after the first week. After that, she gets 33 days of tahara. That would cover that week. If it was a nekeva, then the first 2 weeks, the 14 days are tmeim. And then after that, subsequent to that, she has yemei tohar for 66 days. If she was yoledet bezov, she did her shiva nikim in the third week, and now she is tahara. So if you have all of those, by the time you get to the fourth week, this woman should be allowed to be with her husband, mimanafshach. Either she is tahor because she's completed her shiva nikiim, and now she's in her yemei tohar. Whether it's yemei tohar lezachar, yemei tohar lenekeva, she should be allowed to be with her husband, because any dam she cites now will be dam tohor. So why did the Braita say that only on the night of the 35th is she allowed to be together with her husband? What happened to this fourth week? La mishum d'lo azlinan bataruba. So here's the question of Yishub ben Levi. Is it because we don't go after the rov? If we don't go after the rov, now we have a problem. We assume now that when she had the miscarriage right before she came before us, that it was a complete leida. It was a good leida. We're just uncertain as to whether it's a zachar nekeva and if she's yoledet bezov. What we didn't have here was a safek of whether she was a nida, that it wasn't a leida at all. And what came out and the dam that was discharged now was a nida. And that means when she sees dam in the fourth week, she really is a nida now because she never gets any yemei tohar. She didn't have a birth. She didn't have a birth. That means that we don't go after the rov. Rabbi Shulman Levi says, rove women, when they give birth to something that's considered a leida. Over here, if you say that we're choshesh in this braita, but the fact that she's a nida, that means that we're not assuming that we go after the rove. If that's the case, that's a question on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Alamai lo yadana, mai tiyufta. So then why did, when we head over here, at the Rav Dimi, he says, I don't understand the question, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. What do you mean don't answer the question? I see the question in the braita here. It's a very easy question on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The braita is choshesh for nida. And the only choshesh for nida, if you don't believe that rove, yodot, have something that's classified as a leida. So I clearly understand the question. Why did Rav Dimi say I don't understand the question? The answer is Amar here chika leidata. The answer to the question is that she gave birth before she ever came before us. Not the day before she came before us, even way before. We have no idea when the discharge happened, and neither does she. She doesn't know when the miscarriage happened. So once you do that, now you're already entering multiple sveikot over here, because you have no idea. Before, we knew for sure that the first week could either be zechar nekeva, but nothing more than that. After that, she would have it be nekeva, or you made tohar of the zechar. After that, it's, you know, shiva nekiyim, and they made tohar. But we knew we could stagger it properly, because we knew exactly when she miscarried. Once you say we don't know when she miscarried, then everything falls into the world of safek. Everything falls into the world of safek. Now we understand why the fourth week is out. Fourth week is out because we don't know if those are Yemei Torah anymore. Those could be them after her Yemei Torah entirely. She could be done 40 days after Zachar. She could be completely done at this point. So that's what it means. That is the answer to the question. That's the only way to explain the Braita in the end. We'll see. Because the positions of Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai are premised on this fact that we don't know that she gave birth or miscarried right before she came before us. So that's what Tosafot asks. He says, Tema, it's the first Tosafot here. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi China lo asik adaite. How did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi China not think of this? Hai shinuya, ubraita lo mefarish kal b'inyan acher. Says exactly that. This, you can't explain this braita any other way. And therefore, he doesn't know why Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina ever thought it was a question, because this is the only way to explain the braita. So now, that eliminates week four. Hach shvua chamishi de tahoru teshamesh. Let us say that on the fifth week, she should be where she sees no dam on the fifth week. We said that alternating weeks, once we reach after the first 3 weeks, we said they alternate. So the first 3 weeks, she saw nothing. Fourth week, she saw every day. Fifth week, she sees none of the days then. So in the fifth week, she is has no sightings of damim. So why don't we say over there, when it comes to the shvua chamishi, that she should be able to be tahur, and she should be together with her husband. So Mar says, Hach shvua revi, kol yoma v'yoma, misfepina le besof leida. Because every day on the fourth week, we assume that that might be the end of her days of leida, ubetchilat nida, and the beginning of a new cycle of nida. Meaning that this could be day 80, any day during that fourth week could be day 41 after a zachar, or day 81 after a nekeva. That means that she's done with her leida. Any dam she cites after that is the start of a nida. So in Achanami, if you knew for sure that she was ending that leida on the beginning of the fourth week, then yes, 7 days would be completed in that fourth week. The problem is that it could be on the last day of the fourth week that she finished up the 80th day, or the 40th day, and then when she has a sighting on that seventh day, that's the beginning of her nida. So now she has to count 7 days of tumah for nida.
That's why she gets the 35th day.
Oh, very good. That's what the Braita says, that she gets the 35th day. Because the worst it could be is that day 40 or day 80 was on the sixth day of the fourth week. That means that she has a sighting of nida on the seventh day of the fourth week. If she has a sighting on the seventh day of the fourth week, count 7 days. Well, 1 day from the fourth week, 6 days into the fifth week. So that means on the night of the 35th day, means that on the beginning of the seventh day, which is at nighttime in that week, she goes to the mikveh for nido, and she's allowed to be with her husband, because mimonov shach, she's tahor at this point in time. Either she's tahor because she was already on nida and she had 7 days of tumah, or she's tahor because she's in the mei tohar of her leida, or she's already had her shiva nikiim for the zavah. But there's no way that she's in Yemei Tumah anymore, because we know the Leidah took place before she came here. So there's no way she's in Yemei Tumah. So Mimon of Shach, the 35th day, she is Teorah. Alright, so Kol Yomah V'Yomah Mesabkinim B'Sof Leidah B'Tchilat Nidah. V'Esrim Etamya Gufei Imar T'Chilat Nidahi. On the last day of the fourth week, the 28th day, we'll say that was the beginning of Nidah. Umbay Lameitav Shiva L'Nidah. She needs 7 days for Nidah. That's how we get to the 35th day. So the Gemara says, B'Esrim V'Chad Tishamesh. Why can't she be together with her husband on the 21st day? Day 21 is the end of week number 3. The 21st day, why can't she be together with her husband during the day if she goes to the mikveh during the day? Because let's think about all the sfeikot that you could have here. We said before that you need the third week because you need shiva nekiim for the zavah. Say she gave birth right before she came before us. And could have been a zachar, could have been a kereva, could have been a nekeva with zivah. So if that's the case, the 2 weeks of Tumah are gone for the Nekeva already. We're in the third week. She has her Shiva Nikim. As opposed to Nida, where she goes to the Mikveh at night, over here by the Zavah Gedola, she can go to the Mikveh during the day. She goes to the Mikveh during the day. On that day of the 21st, she already went to the Mikveh. She should be allowed to be together with her husband after she goes to the Mikveh on that seventh day. What's the other possibility? Other possibility, Nida. Nida is not relevant over here because she hasn't seen Dan for 3 weeks. So there is no issue of Nida anymore. So the only possibilities here are possibilities of birth, real births, and births with Zov. By the time you hit the 21st day, you're done. She goes to the mikveh on the 21st day during the day. After she goes to the mikveh, she should be able to be with her husband on day 21. So the way it says, no, because that's Rabbi Shimoni. You're not allowed to do that because you have not completed, you're allowed to go to the mikveh, but you're not allowed to be together with your husband because what's the possibility? She'll see Dam after she goes to the mikveh. If she sees Dam after she goes to the mikveh, she's okeret the entire Shiva Nikiyim. So there is still a chashash after she goes to the mikveh on that seventh day that if she has a sighting, it'll ruin the entire Shiva Nikiyim. So in Ochanami, she goes to the mikveh, she's really teora, unless she sees a sighting. But we're not going to risk that. We're not going to risk the possibility that she sees a sighting and then the mafreya knocks out all this Shiva Nikiyim. We're not going to let her husband be together with her. That's a huge risk. So we say, yeah, go to the mikveh, but you can't be together with your husband. By the time she hits the night of the, after the 21st, wow. Oh wait, she should be Tohra. She should be able to together with her husband that next night. Oh, so very good. That's the next name. L'orta tishamesh. So let her go the night of the 22nd, meaning that after the 21st, that night, she should be able to be together with her husband. Kishirata ba'erev. When she sees at nighttime, exactly what Roni just said, that at nighttime, she sees at night. As Tosafot points out of here, when she sees at night, doesn't literally mean she sees as soon as it becomes night. Has to be enough time that she can go to the mikveh. We'll see in a second like that by Beit Shammai. Enough time that she went to the mikveh and later in the night she sees Damim. But that's why she's precluded from being together with her husband because she's seeing at night. But until now we thought she was sighting during the day, not at night. Now we see her, she's going during the nighttime. She's having these sightings at night. Now we come to Tishim Chamesh Tfilot. What are the 95 tfilot that are required by Beit Shammai? We're going to do the 95 of Beit Shammai and tomorrow we'll do the 35 of Beit Hillel. So how do we get to 95? That is because Shvua Kama, Madbilano Tabele Luta. For the first week, she goes to the mikveh every night. Amer, Yoledet Zacharhi. We assume that maybe she gave birth to a Zachar. We don't know how much before. Sometime before she came before us, she gave birth to a Zachar. And therefore, whatever, every day of the first week is the end of her Yemei Tuma for a Zachar. And after the Yemei Tuma of Zachar, she goes to the mikveh to start counting her Yemei Tohar. So therefore, she goes to the mikveh every night. Shavua sheni, madibilan ota beleiluta. She goes to the mikveh at night. Amar yoledet nekevayi. That we don't know when, but maybe she had a female birth. And the end of the 2 weeks of Tumah is somewhere during that second week. Every night, again, she goes to the mikveh, because that might be the end of her Yemei Tumah, the beginning of her Yemei Tohar for Nekeva. V'yomama, she also goes every day during the day. Amar yoledet zachar bezovi. Maybe she gave birth to a male, but she was also a Zavag de Gedola. She requires Shiva Nikiim. So that means that we don't know when the 7 days of Tumah for the Zachar ended. They could have ended any day during the first week. And then she needs Shiva Nikiim. We know for the first 3 weeks she has no settings of Dam. So whenever the Yemei Tumah end, she starts to count her Shiva Nikiim. That means sometime during the second week, any day during the second week could be the end of her Shiva Nikiim for a birth of a Zachar. And therefore she has to go to the mikveh during the day for her Shiva Nikiim, and she goes at night because of the possibility that it's the end of Yemei Tumah for Nikeva.
Wait, the first week she also
goes twice. Only at night.
Why? We don't know after the first week.
Okay, so very good. And Rashi asks your question. He says, why does she have to go during the day, during the first week? That could be the end of her Shiva Nikiim in the first week. Every day could be the end of her Shiva Nikiim. Rashi says that we don't count. We don't assume there are any Shiva Nikiim until we see her in front of us and she's telling us that there's Shiva Nikiim. So we have a safek. Until now, we don't have any information. The only thing information knows is once she's coming for us, she's had Shiva Nikiim. So we will not grant her Shiva Nikiim until she's in front of us and we had Shiva Nikiim. So the safek of Shiva Nikiim only starts in the second week, not in the first week. But basically your question, why don't we go to the mikveh during the day in the first week? Week number 3, Shlishi Matbilin La Biyomama. In the third week, you only go to the mikveh during the day because, of course, if Shiva of Tumah for Zachar long gone, the 2 weeks of Nikeva are also long gone. The only thing that we could have a suffix for in the third week is that she's Yoledet Nikeva Bezov. And this is the end of her Shiva Nikiim for Leidat Nikeva. Therefore, in the third week, she only goes to the mikveh during the day. So, Beyomama, Emer Yoledet Nikeva Bezov. Beleluta, at night, she has to go to the mikveh. Why? Bechamada Tamayu Damrei Tvilot Yomaroch by Tvila. That at the end of her Yemei Tohar, she is required to go to the mikveh again. Tvilat Yom Aruch is a woman, after Yemei Tumah, after she gives birth, she has either 7 days of Tumah for a Zachar, and then 14 days for a Nekeva. After those 7 days of Tumah, or those 14 days of Tumah, she goes to the mikveh that night, and she begins her Yimei Tohar. That woman is classified as a Tbulat Yom Aruch. Tbulat Yom is a woman who goes to the mikveh and is waiting for the sun to set in order to become Tohar. We had that case before with the woman who goes to the mikveh at the end of her Shiva Nikim. We said, why can't she be together with her husband? She's really not Tohar until the sun sets on that day. So why don't we let her be with her husband? Because if she sees Dam, it might be a problem. But from the time she goes to the mikveh till sunset, she's what's called a Tbulat Yom. A woman or a man, it happens to be a man as well, if you go to the mikveh and you're waiting for the sunset to be Tohar, you call it Tbulat Yom. By a woman who gives birth, and she has the Shiva, or the 14 days of Tumah, she goes to the mikveh after those days, and then she has either 33 days of Tara or 66 days of Tara. When the sun sets on the 80th day, or on the 40th day, then that's the sunset that makes her Tahor. So she goes to the mikveh then, and she's called as Tbulat Yom Aruch. From the time she goes to the mikveh, the time the sun sets on the 40th day, if she went to the mikveh on after the 7th day, or she went to the mikveh after the 14th day, and then on the 80th day the sun sets, that's when she becomes Tehora. That's the end of her Tbulat Yom Aruch. Beit Shammai says that at the end of that period, she has to go to the mikveh again. Tbulat Yom Aruch, after the sun sets on that day, she has to go to the mikveh again. It's not that automatically the sun sets, and her original Tevila helps. She has to go to the mikveh again. So now, when she goes to the mikveh, now in this third week, she goes during the day, because that could be Yoled Nekeiva B'Zov. She also goes in the third week, because this could be the end of her Leida period. It could be end of day 40 or end of day 80 for the birth that she gave beforehand. So she has to go to the mikveh at night for that problem. So now we're at the point, for the first 3 weeks, how many times does she go to the mikveh? In the first week, she only goes at night, so that's 7. In the second week and the third week, she goes both during the day and at night, which means that she goes 14 days during the second week and 14 days during the third week. So all together, in the first 3 weeks, she goes 35 times to the mikveh. Now, michtei, yimei tahara kama havin, shitin v'shita. The yimei tahara, the possibility is that, the worst possibility is that she gave birth on the day she came before us, and then she has 2 weeks of tuma'ah, plus you'll let it dissolve, so it's the third week, and then she has 66 days of tahara, 66 days, so 80 days from the time she starts in front of us, that's the possibility. Dal shva gimel, to get rid of the third week, because the third week is really part of her Yomei Tahara, for Shiva Nikiyim, for the Zov. They're part of her Yomei Tohar, but she's still not permitted to be with her husband, because she could have been a Yoledet B'Zov. Right, she only has 66 minus 7. So that's what the Gemara says right now. So Yomei Tahara is 66, Dal Shavuash Gimel. That Vinuma, we already put her in the mikvah that week, but she's minus the third week. So it's 66 minus 7 is, Pashlu Shittin Na'achicha, the 60 minus 1, or 59 days. So if she gave birth to Nekeva right before she came before us, she has 80 days now. The first 2 weeks are Yimei Tumah. The subsequent 66 days are Yimei Tahara. According to Beit Shammai, she's going to have to go to the mikveh every day because that could be the end of her 80 days. Okay, but the third week we already addressed because the third week we said she could have been a Yoled B'Zov, could be the end, so therefore she's already going to the mikveh. So what remains of a Yimei Tahara, she gave birth to Nekeva right before she came before us, is 66 minus 7. 66 minus 7 because 3 weeks have passed already. Any one of those subsequent 59 days could be...
From
22
to 80.
Right. 22 to 80. Up to 22, we already covered. So therefore, it's really from 22 to 80, which is 59 days. So therefore, we have now, if you do that, you're left with 60 minus 1, which is 59 days that you're going to the mikveh, because any one of those days could be the 80th day after her giving birth. And if that's the case, then she has to go to the mikveh 59 times. Plus, vitlatin vehei, 35, which we already calculated from the first 3 weeks, she goes to the mikveh 35 times. If I add 35 plus 59, I end up tishin v'dalet avyan, that's 94. Beit Shammai said in the Mishnah, 95. So where's that extra one coming from? Tishin v'chamesh, ma'avitayu, why are you going 95 times? I'm Rav Yirmiyahu b'Difti, you go in Shabbat lefaneinu ben ha-shmashot. She came before us, ben ha-shmashot, evinu lan tefila yeterata. We give her an extra tefillah. Since she came before us on the ben ha-shmashot, then we don't know already if the first day, the first ben ha-shmashot is considered like yom, and therefore she already started that day in the first night, she'll have to go to the mikveh, or is that considered like Laila, and then we'll have to make her go to the mikveh, ben ha-shmashot, on the last day of the 80th day, because we're not sure whether it's yom or Laila. So there's an extra tefillah in there. She will go, instead of going, quote-unquote, 80 times, you have to go 81 times because of this Ben HaShvashot. So that gets us to the 95 of Beit Shammai. Okay, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll do Beit Hillel's calculation.